FM A
I N M E N
U Main Menu
Main Menu
A very warm welcome to ACB Radio Mainstream's regular look at technology from a blindness perspective. This is Main Menu. Coming up on Main Menu this week.
You know, I've got one of the best jobs out there, and that is working on JAWS all day long.
Eric Damery from Freedom Scientific joins us to take a detailed look at JAWS version 7. I'm Dave Williams. You're listening to ACB Radio's Main Menu, a regular look at technology from a blindness perspective. And this week we're joined on the programme by Eric Damery from Freedom Scientific. Good afternoon to you, Eric.
Well, good day to you too, David. It's great to be back on Main Menu.
Obviously, we're interested in focusing on JAWS 7. That's the big news from Freedom Scientific at the moment. But just remind people about your position and your responsibilities within Freedom Scientific.
Sure. I'm the vice president of product management on the software side of the company. So I actually have responsibilities for all the software products that we release. Dusty Voorhees is one of our product managers here, and he kind of responsible for Magic and OpenBook directly. And then I take direct responsibility for the JAWS product. So that's, you know, I've got one of the best jobs out there, and that is working on JAWS all day long. So I'm constantly working with users, developers, testers, and just everybody in general on the product to try and make sure that we get the best technology out there that we can.
Now, JAWS, clearly the world's most popular screen reader and certainly a favorite with many of our listeners. And you guys have a major release. We're not talking about a minor bug fix release here. We're talking about a major release of JAWS, JAWS 7, which is the latest edition. Can you summarize, if it's at all possible, the thinking behind JAWS 7, the direction that JAWS 7 takes us in, and perhaps highlight some of the major new features that can be found?
Sure. We've actually been working on 7 now for the better part of a year, and there are several areas that we're working on addressing. First, let me talk a little bit about the DAISY stuff and what we've continued to do on training material. You know, training is still the key shortcoming out there, I think, for accessibility products in general, and getting users knowledgeable not only on Windows and Windows using Windows applications, but really getting them skilled and knowledgeable on using their screen reader is a major challenge, because training centers need to be brought up to speed, and then people need to go to training centers. Once they leave the training center, if they haven't got skilled on some new feature, they may never get it unless we can communicate that information to them. And our DAISY training material, we've continued to grow. First released in 6.0 with the FS Reader demo, it now includes about 4 new books, short books, about 15 minutes each, that will be installed when you install JAWS 7 from the CD, or someone can go and download them for free from our training page at freedomscientific.com. And these new DAISY books kind of introduce people to the new features I'm going to discuss here with you today. So it's the training material, I think, first and foremost, that we're continuing to develop this and make it available to you, that I think is so important.
So why is DAISY particularly important for you guys? Is there not the potential for a catch-22 there, whereby someone buying the product for the first time, or someone wanting to access the tutorial material, perhaps they may find that the introduction to DAISY a learning curve that perhaps they don't want to take on? Why do you think DAISY is the way to go in terms of documentation for a product like JAWS?
Well, of course, it's not the only documentation. There is online documentation that's very, very good, I think. We had to make a conscious decision as we began the move away from cassette tapes, and we had gone to audio CDs. That didn't really work out so well, because people don't necessarily have a readily available, accessible CD player next to their computer or in their computer. So we went with DAISY because DAISY really is becoming one of the standards, And it isn't too difficult to use once you get started. Now, what you mentioned, though, is a brand new user trying to get started needs some help. Remember, this isn't really the teacher. This is training material to help a teacher teach someone. And in 7.0, with new products, we are now including one cassette tape. We've added it in because we did hear from dealers and training centers that a little extra help just to get people into the DAISY training material would be beneficial. So I challenged our training department, and Dan Clark went into the recording studio, and I think he came away with a brilliant one-hour cassette tape that is now going to be included in every new 7.0 package. We'll also send extra cassette tapes out to dealers so that if it is a customer and they're really stuck and they'd like to get a hold of the cassette, contact the dealers in your area. Probably by November they'll have them in their hands and be able to make them available. We'll have them here. There may be a $10 or $15 charge associated with mailing one out just to process it, but you know, it'll be reasonable. The material that is on the cassette is also available on our training page right now and can be downloaded onto a CD if someone wants to listen to it. It'll help jumpstart them and get them into the DAISY material.
Okay. Am I correct in understanding that the DAISY material comes on the product CD itself? So essentially you can put your product CD into a DAISY player and it'll come up talking?
Yeah, that was one of the requests that we got after we released JAWS 6, that people with hardware DAISY players could just instantly get access to the material. So we have set up the program CD now and the demo CD. So if someone if someone purchases or you don't have to buy the demo, if somebody gets a demo CD from a dealer or at a trade show or contacts us, all the training material is there. And if you take that CD, the program or demo CD, drop it into a hardware DAISY player, should pop you right up into the table of contents and give you access to the basic training and all of these extra books that we're providing.
So there's been obviously a lot of work in the area of support materials, and that clearly is going to benefit new users most of all. Although I guess your core constituency, the majority of people who will be using JAWS 7 will probably be existing JAWS users who are wishing to upgrade. So what are the highlights for them, Eric?
The training material, the DAISY material, is not just for new users. I really am putting it on there for the power users out there. You know, as I traveled around and showed off this product over the last year or two, since we've come up with place markers and custom labels and speech and sounds manager and skim reading, the majority of the customers that I get in front of, who are often power users, seldom really understand these features and don't really use them.
Does that surprise you, Eric?
It does surprise me a lot, but it's because of the fact that when they learned how to use the technology, those features didn't exist, and they really haven't necessarily read through the what's new each year as it's come out, and they haven't taken the time to hone their skills and start using some of the new technology and features that should make their computers more efficient from their screen reader use.
Do you think perhaps there's a culture in the blind community of people essentially learn enough about their screen reader to get the job done rather than, you know, really getting the most out of the product? Quite often there are a lot of hidden treasures within a screen reader that people don't tap into, is it?
Sure, and it's not just true with screen readers. It's true with anything we do and certainly, you know, anything else that I do on the computer. I mean, there's a lot of things on the computer, whether it be word processing, Internet Explorer, even Outlook. I mean, there's tons of things in Outlook that I don't use and take advantage of, primarily because I haven't spent the time to go in and learn them. So I think that the screen reader is really important. That is your interface, and taking advantage of those tools is a great benefit for you. I hope people will go back and read through the what's new, read through the what's new from previous versions as well. Now introduced with 7, one of the features that, this is one that's been requested for a number of years as well from users, and we took the time, and you know, while this started off as seems like a fairly simple feature to add, turned out to be a little more complicated than that, but I think it came out really well. And it is, we refer to this as FS Clipboard, and it gives users the ability to append to their Windows clipboard. There are many places that this can be taken advantage of, but let me give you just a couple of examples. You ever been on a web page and you're moving through material and you find something that you'd like to take with you? Maybe you're going to use it in an email or you want to store it someplace, and you select it and you copy it to the clipboard, and then you continue to move through the page and you find something else. Ooh, I'd like to get this information as well. Well, the only way to capture that also, the first thing you have to do is leave where you are, go paste it somewhere, come back to the web page, and then select the new thing and copy it to the clipboard and then go back. Well, this new feature allows you to just continue to append information to the clipboard. So you can go through several web pages. You might open up a word processing document, find something there. You want to gather all this information up and then paste all of it at once in one location. So the append to feature allows you to do that. And the way it works, we tied it to the Windows keystroke. So instead of a Control C, which is copy, or Control X, which is cut to the clipboard, those are Windows commands. We've added a JAWS command, Windows key C, which appends to the clipboard. In other words, it leaves the text that was there on the clipboard, and it just adds some more text to it.
I can certainly see how that would be very useful. Playing devil's advocate just for a second, Eric, from a purist perspective, that's not really a screen reading feature. It's certainly a nice thing to have, and I look forward to making a lot of use of that. But where do you draw the line in terms of what a screen reader does and what third-party utilities should do?
Well, that is that's a difficult line to know. You know, there are third-party utilities out there that do exactly what we're describing, but people then have to go and find those utilities and put them in. And this is extremely useful for screen reader users, we think. And that's what we've been told. That's what our users asked us for, is the ability to do such a technique. So adding this in, you're right, this is not screen reading, but, you know, there are a lot of things that aren't screen reading. Doing custom labels on web pages, that's not screen reading. That's changing the behavior of something that the screen reader will then be able to communicate to you. And so this does kind of go beyond that.
Is there a limit to how much stuff, essentially, if you're going through a web page and you're adding things to the virtual, to the FS clipboard? I know certainly the Office clipboard, I think, goes up to 12. Is it 12 items in the Office clipboard? Something like that.
Yeah, there isn't a limit in the respect to how many items you can put. There will only be a limit as to how much information you can store on the Windows clipboard, whatever that is, which is probably
okay.
Pretty high. I don't know that I've reached it. So, no, there won't be. And then, you know, a couple of other things about it. One is, one of the first things that people will find as they start using it is they're so used to doing Control C to copy that they would have appended, and then they'll slip and they'll forget and they'll try to do a Control C, and normally that would overwrite everything you've done. We've set this up so that if the last thing you had done was append something to your clipboard and you then try to do a Control C, it'll warn you. Are you sure you want to overwrite this information? And you can say yes, or you can say no and go back and append if you slipped. So you won't see that message unless the last thing you did on the clipboard was append to it.
To paste that, would you just simply use Control V in the same way that you would with the Windows clipboard?
That's right, absolutely.
Okay, so essentially it is the Windows clipboard, but you now have the added benefit of being able to use the Windows key and C to append rather than to overwrite.
Right, and you can do this across applications, so it isn't just in Office. You can do this whether you're in IE, Notepad, Outlook, wherever you go. Another feature that we've added in, which I think is a big breakthrough, is what we've referred to as document presentation. For those who have been using screen reading over the last few years, especially in HTML on the internet, you've all become accustomed to and familiar with what we refer to as the virtual buffer, the virtual world that we read HTML in. We capture HTML pages and we create a virtual world and use a virtual cursor to read through it. And this has been very, very successful for people browsing the internet, because no longer are they trying to read the web page as it's presented on the screen, but they're reading the HTML content as we're gathering it directly from the HTML code. So you can tell when you've landed on elements, and it puts all the columns into a single column, so it feels like you're reading a document. and you can use quick navigation keys to jump around and all of those things. The downside to this virtual world has been really seen when you reach a table. If you run into a table on the internet, each cell, the contents of each cell, is represented on a single line. So it's very difficult, whether you're using speech or especially Braille, to get an understanding of how the table is really laid out and how the each cell in the row is representative to the other cells within the row. And it would be very, very useful to be able to see this information, we believe, as it's presented. That's why it's laid out in a table for sighted users, because it's much easier to see how information relates to each other. So document presentation, when you're on a web page or you're in HTML help files reading keystrokes or you're in a PDF document reading a table, you can simply jump into the Verbosity dialog box.
Insert V, of course, to get into your Verbosity.
Insert V, of course, for the Verbosity. Then D for document presentation. And hit the space bar, and it will toggle you from simple layout, which is the default way you've always been using it, to screen layout. Press Enter, and now you're back in the table, but the table will be seen to you, whether you're using speech or Braille, a row at a time. And each cell is separated by a vertical bar. So, for instance, if you're looking at a directory listing of people, and their name is given, followed by their extension, followed by their location, followed by their email address, you would hear name, vertical bar, extension, vertical bar, location, vertical bar, and so forth. So you know when one cell ends and the next cell begins. And you'd also see that in Braille if you're looking at it with IE. So this is a nice way to look at it. You can also now select the table. And you can do so by selecting the entire table. If you go to the top where you hear table with eight columns and 53 rows, when you're sitting there, you can press F8, which is a JAWS command, to do like an extended selection. It selects the entire table, copy it to the clipboard, and take it somewhere and paste it, and it will be laid out as it was on the internet. Instead of a single column, you'll see each row with the vertical bar separators.
So the vertical bars will be inserted into the clipboard then if you were to copy that and paste it somewhere else.
Exactly. And without that, you would have a hard time to understand the relationship because one cell would run right into the next. Now, you can also tie together the new feature of FS Clipboard with this feature, which is Dynamite. You can go into a big table, and you might want to take, certain rows, non-contiguous rows, in the table and extract just that information. And the way users often do it today, they'll go to a web page, they'll select the whole web page, copy it to the clipboard, paste it someplace, and delete all of the information they don't want just to get the small pieces of information they did want. Well, now you can move through a table, select a row, copy it to the clipboard, move down, find another row, select it, append it to the clipboard, then find another row, append it, and then you only take the pieces of information that you want. You get it very quickly, and it retains the formatting.
Do you think the virtual cursor idea, and this is something that we see right across the industry in terms of the way we access PDF documents and web pages and so on, do you think that's really still the only credible way for blind users to access that sort of information? As you've already indicated, you guys are addressing some of the limitations of that approach, but do you think by and large it's going to be with us for the foreseeable future?
I think it's going to continue to change as we go forward, as technology becomes much more accessibly designed, let's say. But for the time being, I think that it is clearly the best way to do this with a screen reader. And I think given the choice, somebody who is skilled with this, given the choice of trying to turn off virtual world and read a document on a website as it's presented on the screen versus communicating directly to the application, it's night and day. It's kind of like trying to use Office applications without communicating to the object model.
Hmm.
It's nearly impossible if you're not talking directly to the application, as we've proven over the years, and now as other companies in this industry begin to you know, abandon the old ways of trying to read a screen and go directly to object model and communicate to the application, it's further justification that this is really the way to do it and the most efficient way today.
You touched on quick keys a little earlier, and I can't imagine going back to the days before we had quick keys. I don't know how you go about navigating a web page now without quick keys.
When you release a feature in screen readers that you know, this is one everybody is going to attack, just attack. They're going to love it. And they did. And our users, like you say, would be, you know, really lost on the Internet today if they didn't have their quick navigation.
Websites are so busy now. You know, they're so busy. You go onto a page, you might have 200 or 300 links and 24 headings and, you know, tables and forms and frames and goodness knows what else. Yeah. You know, you've got to digest all of that, and you've got to do it in a time period that is competitive. You know, you need to get the bit of information that you want to get. You don't want to spend your time trying to navigate the page. So quick keys are marvelous.
When we defined and developed the quick navigation key approach for HTML years ago, we thought about, you know, this is going to be useful in other places, and we always intended to come back and continue to develop this way of navigating. And with the release of JAWS 7, we have now given this technology or this ability to use quick navigation to people using Microsoft Word. And our beta testers just jumped all over this, especially people who work in large Word documents. So let me define how this works just a tad. First of all, if you're in a say-all of a Word document, we came to the conclusion that you would probably not start typing text during the say-all. You normally would stop the reading, move to where you wanted to input information, and then use the letter keys to type text. So we turn on quick navigation keys during say-all. So as you're reading through a document, if you press a P, you'll move to the next paragraph, and it will keep on reading. If you press an S, it'll move to the next section in the document and keep on reading. If you press a T, it'll move down, find the next table if one exists, and continue reading from that point. Adding shift to those commands will back you up. Now, if an element that you've chosen doesn't exist, if you've hit the key to move to the next comment or the next bookmark in a document and they don't exist, you'll hear a small sound play in the background, and it'll just keep on reading from where you were, so you won't get any interruption. You know, we've always had page up and page down to increase the rate or slow it down on the fly during a say-all, so we've left those in place. And for page up and page down, we use the space bar and the backspace. So during a say-all in Word, if you start pressing the space bar, it'll jump a real page in the document at a time, not a screen, but a page. So that's another one. And they're all defined in the What's New. You can go in and read all about what quick keys are. Now, if you're not in a say-all and you'd still like to navigate, you want to, you know your document has headings and you want to press H to move through each heading, there is a keystroke, insert Z, which turns off virtual in the in IE, and we use that to toggle quick keys on and toggle them off. Insert Z when you're in a Word document. So if you want to use quick navigation outside of a say-all, you can do that just by pressing the insert Z. You'll also find the command in the insert V verbosity dialog box to do it there, but it's nice to have a keystroke.
Yeah, and you could really, if you had a report to read and you needed to be able to sort of scan through and just get the to the sections that you want to read and read the paragraphs that you want to read, those quick keys in conjunction with the say-all, they're going to get the job done.
So let's talk a little bit about the next one, MSN Messenger. This is one that's been very, very popular. It's one that people have been using in JAWS for years with earlier versions of Messenger. And when Microsoft came out with MSN Messenger 7.0 last spring, right after we released 6.1, I think about that time they were releasing Messenger 7.0, and it really required a tremendous amount of work to rewrite our interface to Messenger, and we were not able to get MSN Messenger 7 going for customers in the 6.1 or 6.2 updates. But we have really put the time and effort in, and users of JAWS 7 can now take advantage of MSN Messenger 7, and they actually released 7.5 during the summer. It came out very quickly, and minor changes there, and that's working as well.
You guys and MSN Messenger seem to kind of get a little bit out of sync there for a while. It was looking a bit worrying there for people wanting to get the latest MSN Messenger. And what you're telling us now that you guys have worked on that and it's been addressed and it's out there and people can get support for MSN 7 and 7.5 with JAWS 7.
Absolutely. If they stay in the earlier versions, they'll continue to work as well. But we would strongly recommend you go ahead, once you've got JAWS 7 installed, go right to MSN Messenger 7.5. There is a DAISY book. About 30 minutes long, I think, that Brian Hartchin recorded. And Brian, one of our beta testers, worked very closely with our developers in helping to test and ensure that we really, you know, came up with some great usability techniques in our Messenger support. And we put months into getting this right, and we think we've done a very good job. Press and insert H. Read the keystrokes. They're all available to you instantly when you go to MSN Messenger and see what the feature sets are. But the ability to review the history of a message very quickly with single keystrokes and walk right through them is great.
And, of course, all the old favorites that people are familiar with, the ability to be able to hear when the other person is typing and those sorts of things, they're all still there.
Yeah, all the things that they've been taking advantage of with JAWS in earlier versions are all still there, plus some new things.
Okay.
You know, one of the other areas that we've been trying to focus on for a number of years, and we've taken to a new level this time, I think, is Microsoft Excel. We've been supporting the object model and giving users access to Excel now since, I think, around 97, 98, in that time frame. And our support of Excel has continued to grow and mature over the years. And one of the big breakthroughs we made several years ago is the ability to let a user go in and understand how a spreadsheet is laid out. Once they understand it, they could, in JAWS, through the verbosity dialog box, tell JAWS that whenever I'm in this spreadsheet, this row and this column represent the appropriate column and row headings. So as I navigate left and right, I'd like to hear the column headings. And as I navigate up and down, I'd like to hear the row headings. And you can even set it up for multiple regions in a spreadsheet. And this manual capability of going in and setting up a spreadsheet has really opened up the access to Microsoft Excel for many people. One of the things that we've recognized over the years is that until a user really understands how the spreadsheet is laid out, and they can be very, very complicated, and until they really understand how to go into the verbosity dialog box and define this and teach JAWS this information, they don't really get access to Excel spreadsheets. Even though they read correctly, there's more information that you need to know as you navigate around. So with the release of JAWS 7, we've introduced the ability for an author of a spreadsheet. Now, this doesn't mean they have to have JAWS either. This is anybody creating spreadsheets can go into the spreadsheet and use a feature of Excel called the naming convention, where you name a cell, and you can name it a particular name that JAWS is going to be watching for. So then when any user of JAWS loads up this spreadsheet, if they've got JAWS 7 and the author of the spreadsheet identified what is the intersecting point of the row and column headings, the JAWS user automatically gets it to take advantage of that. And it just automatically reads the column and row headings as they navigate around. And it can even handle it for multiple regions in multiple worksheets within their Excel workbook. The other thing that we've also added for Excel is the ability to build summaries of a spreadsheet. You know, when I load up a spreadsheet, and as a sighted user, I look at a spreadsheet. I don't necessarily look at all the information in the spreadsheet. There are certain information, there's certain cells of information that I'm generally interested in. That's where I go instantly with my eyes to get my summary. And the feature in JAWS is called Custom Summary. And while you're on a spreadsheet, you can move to any important cell in the spreadsheet that you'd like to refer to in the future. Go into the verbosity dialog box, choose custom summary label, and define a label for it. Give that cell a name. And you can do this for multiple cells. You can do it for a contiguous block of cells if you've selected them, and you can name the block of cells. Then in the future, when you load up the spreadsheet, go into the verbosity dialog and choose the choice called View Custom Summary, and it loads up those cells with your names in the virtual buffer, and you can just walk right through that information with speech and braille.
And there may be people sitting listening to this who perhaps think, well, you know, what do I care? I don't use Excel. But, you know, a spreadsheet can have a lot of useful purposes. You don't have to be an accountant to use a spreadsheet.
That's right. One of the other things that we've made available now to all of our customers who go to JAWS 7 is we've posted a version of this JAWS on our website that can be downloaded and installed and extracted and installed right onto a thumb drive.
Right.
So you can go to a store and buy a thumb drive. We recommend you get a 128 or larger, and believe me, 128 is about as small as they come these days. Get one of these thumb drives, and for those of you who aren't familiar with what it is, it's like a small little hard drive that instead of being in your computer is out on a small piece of equipment that has a USB connection. It just plugs into your USB port. But certainly a $20-$25 thumb drive is all you need, and you can put JAWS, and you can even get Magic. There's a version of Magic 9.5 on the web. You can download that, copy the file that you've downloaded onto the thumb drive and extract it right there.
So the thumb drive version, this is something that people would have to download separately then. The standard CD, the 7.0 CD, that's not going to work for people wanting to put JAWS onto a thumb drive. They've got to go to the website and download the correct version.
That's right. We've made it available as a download. It is not on the CD at the moment. Part of the reason is actually it could change. And there is and always has been a version of JAWS on the CD so that you can actually run JAWS from the CD itself. You can put the CD in a CD drive and launch JAWS right from the CD. The downside to that is that you can't really save your settings, which is what this is. You know, the best thing about this tool is that you can store your settings.
Can you talk us through what needs to happen with display chain managing and interceptors and that sort of thing? I know one or two of your competitors are looking at this, and I think there's possibly a little bit of confusion out there. What needs to happen in order for people to run JAWS effectively from a thumb drive?
To run today's screen readers, certainly JAWS and the other major ones on the market, you do have to intercept video. That's how screen reading has been done to this point. We will start to see changes in how this happens once we get into Vista and beyond. But for the time being, today's screen readers on the market have to intercept video. And what that means is we have to install a video, what's referred to as a video hook, into the video driver. Now, a number of years ago, the major companies got together with Microsoft and said, look, we've got to stop doing battle over, you know, trying to install and uninstall each other and destroying people's video chains. So we came up with DCM, Display Chain Management, which Microsoft owns today. And it's simply a way of letting access technology companies that are compliant with DCM install themselves and remove themselves without breaking the video chain or hurting someone else that's already installed their video hooks in there. So that's what DCM is all about. And you do have to do that, and it requires administrative rights, and it requires a reboot of the machine. But once you've hooked the video, if you have a machine that had already had JAWS installed on it before, the thumb drive can just be plugged in and used. If JAWS has not been installed on it, one of the things that you'll have to do before you can run the thumb drive version is install the video intercept, the video hooks. And there's a small little utility on the web along with the downloadable version of JAWS and Magic that has the Freedom Scientific video hook that will work for either JAWS or Magic. And anyone can download that, and as long as you have administrative rights executed, it'll put the video intercept in place with DCM for our products, and that computer is now ready to go for anyone who walks up with the thumb drive.
Okay, and obviously JAWS uses authorization. How does that play out in terms of using JAWS on a different machine with your thumb drive?
Sure. Now, the thumb drive that you go and buy at the store and download a version of JAWS, you're not installing your license on the thumb drive. You're only installing a copy of the software on the thumb drive. So when you plug it into the computer, when JAWS goes to run, just as it does on your PC today, the first thing it does is it looks for your license. And today we're using this Internet License Management, ILM, that most of our users are now very familiar with. And if you have a local key installed on your machine, JAWS finds it and uses it. If it doesn't, it looks on the network to see if there's an ILM license server out there. There's for network licenses, JAWS has a license server that can be installed on any computer that's Windows-based on the network, which will act as the license server so that JAWS doesn't have to have local authorization. It just asks for and receives a key off the license server. And this is a very common technology used by many applications out there today. So when you plug in your thumb drive, it does the same thing as a JAWS installed on a PC does. It looks for a local license. It then looks for a network license. If it doesn't find it, because let's say this is a computer that you've just walked up to, you don't plan on using it, you wouldn't necessarily want to install your ILM license on it, and there is no license available because no one else put one there, you can plug your thumb drive in, and it'll just work as a 40-minute demo, reboot the computer.
Just talk us through that scenario, what someone needs to do, what steps does somebody Sure. need to take in order to make that happen?
Sure. So let's assume this is an XP machine or a Windows 2000. You'd want to, before you ever go to the machine, get yourself a thumb drive, download JAWS and Magic, hopefully, off the Internet, and extract them, but also keep the... just extract them onto your thumb drive. So you now have JAWS and Magic software installed on your thumb drive. And then also download the Video Intercept little application out there and keep it on your thumb drive also. Walk up to any computer, and you will have to get administrative rights. So if this is a public location, I'll tell you that most public locations, they're not going to give you administrative rights. So you would have to ask for assistance from someone in the organization to come over and help you get this installed. But if it's a PC at some friend's house or something and they have administrative rights when they're logged in, you can plug your thumb drive into the USB port, launch Narrator, use Narrator to access the drive and launch the Video Intercept to hook the video. It'll reboot the computer, and when it comes back up, unplug your thumb drive, plug it back in, and now a window comes up, and it'll have JAWS listed right in the top. So what I generally do is I'll plug in the thumb drive, wait about 5 seconds, press Enter, and it launches JAWS. Or if the auto start is disabled for the USB port, you can plug the thumb drive in, go to the Run command, Windows key R, and type in the path. On my computer, it's /E for the USB drive. So I do /E JAWS 7 and press Enter, and it launches JAWS on my thumb drive.
Right, and if you don't know what the path is, of course, you could use Narrator and look in my computer.
Yeah, it's, what is the real advantage to this? Well, I think that people who work in an organization, let's say you are an IT individual, and you have other people in your organization that use JAWS for Windows. So they have JAWS running on their PCs, and you want to go and do some work on their PC. Well, the way you use JAWS and the way they use JAWS are probably going to be a little different. You may have different voice settings. You have faster rate. You prefer not to hear tutor messages and access keys, whatever your choices may be. You can have them just shut down their JAWS, plug in your USB drive, and your JAWS will use their license. But now you'll be using your settings. So that can be very helpful. And I think that most people, consultants especially, or dealers or trainers that go around from various locations and use different computers, I think having a thumb drive makes a lot of sense.
Even a student at a school or a college or a university who's using or required to use multiple machines throughout the course of their day, again, this may be an approach they might want to take.
Yeah, sure. If the school hasn't really taken the steps to do a network installation and given the student access to PCs in various locations, the thumb drive might be a good solution. And the reason I think that this will really work in a school environment, because we don't put the license on the thumb drive, you know, if the thumb drive cost $1,000 because it was the license, it's hard to imagine schools would want to hand over this $1,000 product to a student to take who might lose it or might walk away with it or whatever. In this case, the student can create their own thumb drive, can bring their own thumb drive with them to school and just ask that they've installed the video hooks on the machines where they would want to use JAWS, and then have a license server available so that they can use the school's license of JAWS, but use their own JAWS, use their own settings. And that's how we kind of envision this happening.
And of course, if you've got a thumb drive that's large enough, then you don't just have to have JAWS on there. You can store whatever other documents you need. The thumb drive now has really become the almost a successor to the floppy. I mean, I have a laptop and a couple of computers, but I still have a thumb drive, which I carry around with me because there are certain bits of data that I don't want to be without. Good stuff.
I think, you know, there are a lot of other things that people ought to really take advantage of in JAWS 7. Get in, read through the What's New document. Be sure to listen to the What's New recording. It's about an hour long when it comes out. One of the areas I think that has become more and more of interest to many users is the opportunity to use other browsers. And recently, IBM has put a lot of time and effort into building a Mozilla Firefox browser that is going to become an accessible solution for people using screen readers. And recently they released a beta version. It's Mozilla Firefox 1.5. I think it came out in September. And if you have that, we've put a lot of effort into JAWS this year to build what we refer to as our FSDOM server, which gives us access to these applications that use MSAA and have object models and give us a way of digesting the information no matter how it's presented to us and you know, working with it automatically so you don't have to do any changes inside of JAWS. So what you'll find is that if you've installed this beta version of Mozilla Firefox and you've installed JAWS for Windows 7, you can instantly take advantage of many of the features that you find and you're used to in IE, like quick navigation keys. Even the new document presentation is working there, and you can define custom labels, you can define place markers. Many of the features that you've been using in IE just carry right into Firefox.
Yeah, and Firefox is becoming a real credible alternative to IE, but for people who want to try something different.
It is. I wouldn't recommend that people think about abandoning IE. I think Firefox is a good second edition. I have it installed on my PC. I don't set it up as my default browser, but it's available to me, and it doesn't seem to cause any interference. But I will let people know that at the time, at least of this recording, Firefox Mozilla 1.5 is a beta version, and therefore, before you install any beta software on your computer, you need to be aware of that and really think of the consequences. We are not currently offering technical support for people trying to use Mozilla Firefox 1.5 because it is in beta and we haven't completed our work on it. So while we're making great progress, and I think you'll find it very usable and it is very quick, which is the first and foremost thing you'll notice, it loads pages very, very rapidly. It is in beta and you should be aware of that. And as we come out with our next release of JAWS, it'll be a free update for all of our JAWS customers. We're working on it diligently right now. It is 7.1, should be out in the first quarter, and I think that you'll see some further improvements on Mozilla. You'll certainly see IE7 is being worked on at the moment. And that should be out, I would think, by Microsoft on or about the same time that we get 7.1 posted. So watch for that update. It will be a downloadable update and posted and announced somewhere in that first quarter of 2006.
And as you say, it's not. I don't even know that you can remove Internet Explorer, to be honest, but it's not a complete replacement. I think there are still some sites that you can really only use Internet Explorer for. The Windows Update site is one that comes to mind.
Yeah. There are websites out there specifically written to IE that still aren't working quite right yet in Firefox. But I think, you know, having other solutions out there are good. It isn't, you know, today we do feel that Internet Explorer is providing some pretty good access to the Internet for most of our customers. So we haven't tried to make Firefox a priority, but we are certainly trying to make sure that as these other opportunities become available, that our JAWS users will certainly be able to use them.
Were there any other major new features in version 7, Eric, that you wanted to talk about at this time?
You know, I'm sure I'm overlooking something major, and after we finish, I'll say, you know, I forgot to mention that. But I think I've really hit some of the highlights, and again, I can't emphasize enough that people really need to spend the time to go in and read through the entire What's New. It's a very, very long document, and it points to other locations in the help system where you can get more details about a particular feature. And while not everything is of interest and use by every user, we hope that there is something in there for everybody, and we hope that they'll take advantage of reading through the What's New and listening to the training material. Watch for the CDs. If I know that this recording should be out somewhere around the third week in October, I think, 2005, and the CDs are in production and heading out the door, so probably about the time you're listening to this recording, you should be receiving the CD in the mail within a matter of days. So watch for the CDs and get them installed and get the training material installed, and I look forward to seeing as many of you as I can at the trade shows in the coming year, and bring your questions.
Let's just talk through the upgrade process then. Clearly, if somebody has a software maintenance agreement, then they need to check how many counts they have left on that software maintenance agreement. And presumably, if someone is running JAWS 6 and they have an SMA, then they've already paid for their version 7.0 upgrade. And so will they be upgraded automatically, Eric, or do people need to apply for that?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, and this is something else that's kind of new for our users, and let me kind of walk through the process. So if you have JAWS installed today, and it was a version 6, 6.1 or 6.2, 6.1 and 2 were updates to the 6.0 release, you may or may not be entitled to receive 7. And there's a couple of ways, a couple of things that you can look at. And the first thing most people look at is their About box. If you go into the Help menu and choose About, you will find out what version you're running at the moment. And it tells you what your SMA count is. Now, what users need to understand is that the SMA count in the About box is only tied to whatever the key is on their computer. And the only way to really be sure is to go to www.fsactivate.com. On that page, you'll find three buttons, and the first button is one that allows you to go in and find out information about your license, and you should choose that button. And then the first link on that page talks about how to find out the status of your JAWS authorization. And if you choose that, put in your serial number. You can view a table that contains the details for your license. So it'll say to you it's a 7.0 release, or it'll say it's a 6.0 release. And you can find out if you really have an SMA account or available to you right from the Internet. If you do, you can use the JAWS update authorization feature in the Help menu to have it go out on the Internet and update your key. Doesn't use up another authorization key on your account. Don't worry about that. If you have a key installed on the computer, just run update authorization. Make sure you get the latest. So if you have an SMA available, 7.0 will arrive in the mail, either directly from us if you're in the U.S. or directly from the distributor in the country where you're located. So for instance, in the U.K., Sight and Sound will be receiving a package with all your SMAs as they've done in the past, and they'll be mailing those right out to you. If you're in Australia, they'll be coming through Quantum, or New Zealand, they'll be coming through Quantum. And so you'll get that SMA shipment. You'll also be receiving a letter shortly after you receive your CD if your SMA has just expired. In other words, if 7.0 is the last upgrade on your SMA, you'll get a letter giving you an opportunity to renew your SMA within a certain period of time. We always try and give you at least 60 days. I think it'll probably go out till the end of the year, December 31st, 2005, where you can renew at a specific price. And if you wait beyond that, I think it adds $60 to the cost of the renewal of the SMA. So watch for that letter as well. If you're not sure, contact your distributor or contact sales, and they can give you the details and let you know exactly where you stand.
Okay, and inevitably there will be a small number of people still out there that perhaps they've let their SMA slide, and their jaws is getting a bit long in the tooth, and maybe they have an older version, perhaps they've got version 5 even. How should they proceed, Eric?
Well, if you do have an older version and you were not on the SMA program, you at this point would need to purchase an upgrade to the current version, which of course is 7.0 at this point. Contact the distributor or dealer in your area, or contact Freedom Scientific Sales directly. Provide your serial number and request to find out the upgrade costs for your particular version and what's available for you at this moment. And I'm sure the dealer or the sales team will be happy to provide you that information, and you can make the best judgment decisions on which way to go. If you are not on the SMA program, I would encourage you to try and get into the SMA program. It is a way to make sure that, you get the latest and greatest stuff that we're going to make available to you in the future, available to you immediately as it's released, and it also reduces the cost of these upgrades by cuts them in half, really, I think, if you do the math. So it is the best program, we hope, and it's our easiest way to communicate and ship to you directly the upgrades as they come available.
Right, so there isn't a lot of point in us talking specific figures, because it could well be different for different constituencies, really.
Sure, it'll depend whether you have the professional version or the standard version, or what version you're at, and rather than me try to, and it may be a single user or a multi-user license, so it's hard to kind of lay them out. The best thing to do is contact the dealer or sales at Freedom Scientific along with your serial number and ask them to give, they can look it up, research it, and give you the information.
And finally, can you give us any kind of glimpse into the future, where JAWS is headed over the next 12 months?
Sure. We're, as I mentioned, busily finishing 7.1. We'll be working and completing it over the next several months. We are beginning our efforts into the 8.0 arena already. I won't talk about the feature set yet because I hate to disclose something that may or may not make it into the product. And so I'd rather not disclose what the feature set is and show our hand yet. But 8.0 is well underway and will be coming in the August-September time frame for 2006. We know that Microsoft is preparing the next operating system, previously referred to as Longhorn, and I believe now called Vista. And you'll be hearing more and more about Vista in the coming year. I don't know the exact release date that it will hit the streets, but they are talking about Christmas of 2006, so it may be 14 to 15 months out. Systems will begin shipping with it. And I think that everyone should feel very confident that when Microsoft does release the new operating system, that they're not going to leave behind the screen reader users that are out there today. So the solutions should be in place by that time and tested, and we hope to be able to have a nice, smooth transition into the new operating system for all users of JAWS.
That's reassuring to hear, Eric. Just before we go then, thanks very much for your time. Very much appreciated. Obviously, I expect you've been pretty busy this last couple of weeks since the announcement of version 7. And people wishing to get in contact or perhaps chase up about that SMA arrangement or perhaps go and read the release notes, how should people get in contact?
Well, to read about the JAWS release notes and so forth, just go to www.freedomscientific.com. You can find a link right on the main page. If you use the links list, insert F7 and hit the letter J, you'll find the JAWS 7 information. It'll take you right to the what's new, and there are headings in there, so you can quickly navigate through it with the letter H. You'll also find access to download a thumb drive version. So even if you don't have access to JAWS licensed today, feel free. You can download and make a demo version of JAWS on a thumb drive. I think, you know, anybody that's got access to a thumb drive ought to try and make up a JAWS to have and carry around. If you want to find out information about sales, you can contact the sales department here at Freedom Scientific in the United States at 800-444-4443. If you're outside the United States, we encourage you to contact a distributor in your country. You can find the list of all the dealers through our website, or you can call us directly at 727-803-8000.
Eric Damery from Freedom Scientific. Thanks very much.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dave. No problem.
That's it from Main Menu for another week. Thanks very much for your company. And thanks to those of you who've already sent your birthday greetings to me. Thank you very much for that. I very much appreciate it. Don't forget, of course, Main Menu is your technology program, and we would certainly welcome your input. You can write to us, mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org, with any ideas that you may have for items that you would like to hear on Main Menu. And if you'd like to record something yourself, we can certainly provide technical support and help you make that happen. Until next time, from all of us here on the program, thanks for listening. Bye for now.